Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Coach Lee, Four Quarters with Coach Lee, because we're rocking it right here, right now, at the beginning of this awesome Monday, starting off the week, Four Quarters with Coach Lee, here on Blog Talk Radio, Radio, that is my famous intro, Public Enemy number 111, why? Because that's how I feel at times, dealing with women football, just dealing with football in general. You got to have that mentality, you got to have that mindset. And plus, in 1991, I was definitely rocking Public Enemy before I was, you know, doing my thing on the football field in college. So, you know, here we go, Four Quarters with Coach Lee on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, you guys can always check in the chat room. Just hit the little green button that says chat, ching chat, and then put in your little code, bloop blop, and then you're in, and you can chat with myself, Coach Lee. You can talk with the WFB Talk Continue staff and others who are listening in to the show. So once again, you are tuned in with Coach Lee, Four Quarters with Coach Lee. But you know we got to give our sponsors their just due. We got two national sponsors here ready for you. So here we go. Let's check out the first sponsor. And our first sponsor is always Enterprise.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
John, your car is here.
Go get him, Tiger.
When you're hitting the road for business,
good luck.
Enterprise will pick you up and get you on the road to success. Enterprise, we'll pick you up.
Oh, yeah, you know you got to pick Enterprise. Why? Because they will pick you up. And for my second national sponsor, we got Adidas. My Adidas, the national sponsor for Four Quarters with Coach Lee, and boop, we done kicked off the game, and we're ready to rock and roll. In the first quarter, we're going to talk about recruiting versus drafting. You know, we just had the NFL had their major college draft, and we haven't gotten there as women's football coaches and organizations have yet to go out and draft the players that we want. But my thing is this, you know, would you want to draft players, or do you want to keep it at a recruiting level? You know, for me personally, I'm a recruiter. My belief is hey, I can sell you a bag of goods and you'll come and you'll play for me. Because why? Because you with Coach Lee, and Coach Lee feel that he's the best. And, you know, hey, I get to go out there and recruit for my system. See, the draft is not a system-based system for the NFL. And that's why you have a lot of bust players in the NFL, because they're getting drafted into a system that doesn't benefit or fit them nor the team. A lot of teams are just picking the best player on the board. And if you're a Raiders fan, oh, sorry to hear that. But if you are a Raiders fan, you are one that sat through there and saw that your team picked a player who was the fastest on the football field. You know, because but I give Al Davis a lot of respect because he's an old school thinker. He feels that speed kills, speed wins, and it does. But in this day and age, you know, it's not like in the 60s anymore where the field was unbalanced and you had everybody running five flats and five twos, and if you got somebody running 4.6, you know, they were blaze out there. You know, everybody on the football field today is running 4.5 or less. You know, so to put a 4.3 against a 4.5, 4.4 wide receiver, you got to go with the skills. And Crabtree was definitely the one that should have been picked based on skills. But again, do you like the draft? Or do you like to recruit? You know, there's some football coaches out there that were in the NFL just couldn't get used to doing the drafting thing. Because, again, it's hard to draft when you only get one player per 32 players to get that right person to fit your system. You know, Pete Carroll is a great example. Pete Carroll didn't do too well in the NFL. Why? Because he just couldn't get enough players in his system to buy into his system and into to activate his defensive system. But at USC, he got the cream of the crop. He is the mini pro football team of Los Angeles, since there is no Los Angeles team. But again, he has that character, that flame, that love, that I want you to play for me type of mentality. He has that compete mentality, which his name is Pete Carroll. So compete with Pete is all about it. You know, that's what's going on. So again, you know, it all depends on, you know, the system that you run. But if it's up to me, I definitely would like to recruit players instead of draft players. And at this point in time in women's football, we are recruiting players within our area, which is cool. You know, I've gotten a couple of players personally who emailed me that wanted to play for my team. For those who don't know, I'm the coach of the Las Vegas Showgirls here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I had a couple of emails this past season of players who inquired about playing with the Showgirls. And they're great players, you know. And if I could pay and put them up in a room or a apartment to play for me, I definitely would do it. And, again, being part of a recruiting system, you buy into it, and you can just replace players after players after players. You know, again, I use USC as the platform here because they have a Reggie Bush replacement. They have a Lindale White replacement. You know, they have quarterback U over there. They have linebacker U over there. The reason why is because they get to be more personal with the players. They get to tell them and sell them on their program. You know, the disadvantage of recruiting is that it's other people in the recruiting field that are recruiting that same player that you're recruiting. And, you know, it comes down to that player picking and choosing where they want to go. So nothing's guaranteed until they sign on the dotted line. Whereas in the draft, you pick them, they play for you. Now, they can sit out and hold out, and you don't pay them, but you own their rights. You own their rights for one full year. And most people don't know that a player can sit out for a whole year and re-enter the draft the next year if they don't like the team that they went to. Or they can do a John Elway and tell them that I don't want to go to the Indianapolis Colts. Actually, back then it was the Baltimore Colts in 1983, and he went and played baseball. And then the coach traded his rights to Denver, and the rest is history. He's Hall of Fame, back-to-back Super Bowl champ, went to, what, five Super Bowls and won two. So that's a feat that no quarterback has done. But again, people don't realize that if you get drafted, you don't have to go to that team if you don't like it. I'll give you another good example, Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson was the number one pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 1984 and decided not to go to Tampa Bay. And guess what? The following year, 1985, my bad. And then in 1986, the Raiders drafted him in the seventh round, and he wound up being a part-time football player, part-time baseball player. You know, Bo Knows. For those who are old enough, Bo Knows. Bo Knows Diddley. But anyway, using that draft mentality, using that recruiting mentality, again, I love the recruiting. I love the aspect of bringing somebody in, courting them around, letting them know what it can be, what they could be as a player here, and just using my college experience, being recruited by several teams, you got to find where you fit in. And it's a lot easier to find where you fit in if you're being recruited than if you're drafted. If you're drafted, you're just another person on the roster fighting for survival. And that's the same for recruiting as well. But at least you feel loved. At least you feel that you have a choice in the matter of where you go to school or where you play football. So, again, if teams were able to do, you know, a mock draft, it'd be pretty difficult right now for women's football because we don't have an avenue where women actually play at a lower level and able to come into the level that we have existing right now. But, again, coaches are made, coaches are fired, and coaches go to the grave based on recruiting and based on drafting. If you drop it down to even another level, even in high school, it's not much of recruiting. You get kids by proxy, I guess. Those who live in your neighborhood or live in your school district is how you actually recruit because it's against the rules to recruit in high school unless you're a private school. Private schools can recruit, you know. So, again, even at the high school level, it's hard. Even at the Pop Warner level, you have coaches that go out there and recruit, and they actually have zip code boundaries for Pop Warner football so that you can't go out and go get the best players. They do it by area. But then you got some coaches that are real good that, hey, you know what, you come play for me, you know, I guarantee that you'll get the ball X amount of times, I guarantee you'll be the quarterback, and you get parents that who can change the addresses to benefit that kid for playing for that team or that high school, and the list goes on and on. So, again, it's very important to realize what type of coach are you? Are you a recruiter, or are you just hoping that people show up like a draft? And again, in women's football, I think you have to be a great recruiter. You got to go out there and get people to understand what you are selling. You know, what type of team you're putting together. I know for myself, for the last 4 years, we've been taking step by step, and I'm gonna get into that in later topics here with Four Quarters with Coach Lee. But the fact is, you got to have a game plan. You just can't go in there and say, "Oh, I'm gonna teach X, Y, Z, or A through Z," and you'll never get through it. You got to have a game plan. You got to know what you're recruiting. For me, I love going to track meets. I love going to see women basketball. I go to the JC basketball games. I go to UNLV basketball games, the track meets. I go to the high schools, and I'm wearing my showgirl T-shirt, my showgirl coaching shirt, my hat, you know, giving away a couple of magazines because, again, you can make sure that you're out there recruiting and get your name out there. And that's something that all teams will have to do, not only from the coaches but the players. Each one got to bring one. You know, I want athletes on the field. In order for me to get athletes, I got to go out there and recruit them. You know, again, we talked about a topic a few weeks ago about these lopsided scores. Well, a lot of the lopsided scores is because we're just taking a warm body that comes out on the football field and we're happy. You know, you got to go out there and get your recruit on. So again, if you have any questions or regards to, you know, what we're talking about here or wanted to add any flavor to this, you can always log in at WFB Talks Continues in the chat room. You can always call in. You know, all of a sudden I misplaced the number, but I know it's 347. I think it's 826-7276. I don't even know. Hey, but you rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee. Actually, it's my bad. Thank you, BJ. It's 347-826-7278. You can always reach me at Las Vegas Showgirls at yahoo.com if you have any comments or concerns. Or even better yet, you can go over to Women's Tackle Football Group.neen.com. We have some interesting topics there, and I'm always answering questions from players, fans, coaches, and whomever. to start dialogue about improving our game of football. But again, going back to recruiting and drafting, what's your outlook on it? Where you stand, and what do you think? You know, so we just finished quarter number one, recruiting or drafting. You pick, you choose, and let's hear from our sponsors.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
John, your car is here.
Go get him, Tiger.
When you're hitting the road for business,
good luck.
Enterprise will pick you up and get you on the road to success. Pick Enterprise. We'll pick you up.
You know you're supposed to pick Enterprise. Why? Because they'll pick you up. And for our second sponsor, we got Adidas. Adidas, yeah. Adidas. That's what it's all about. You got to have those sponsors. You got to have those sponsors in order to make women's football move forward. You are in the second quarter with four quarters with Coach Lee on Blog Talk Radio, Radio. And now in the second quarter, we're going to move on. As a coach, we always talk about getting prepared for games. Well, I think the main piece of the puzzle to getting prepared is film sessions. Film sessions. Gotta have them. You gotta love them. You gotta be a film rat. Fortunately, I was born, you know, back in 1970. And my father was a football coach. And I've been in the film room since, like, the week after I was born. You know, I was born in June. So, you know, that was the beginning of football season and breaking down film. So I am a film rat. I love watching films. It's like playing chess, you know. And as coaches, we gotta go and watch those films. But I am hearing some disturbing news out there in women's football land that a lot of coaches aren't giving up their films. Now, that doesn't make any sense. You know, the whole process of this is to watch your opponent, figure out a way to stop your opponent, and then go out and beat your opponent. But if you have coaches who aren't giving up their film, you know, games tend to be a little boring, be a little off-centered, as I call it, because of the fact that teams aren't prepared. And when teams aren't prepared, you're not putting together a great product out on the field. So teams, make sure you're passing on your films. Make sure that the coaches are exchanging. Make sure that they know what they're doing, you know. So, again, going back to the film session, which is probably the most important preparation of any game, is, you know, as a coach, what are you looking for? What are you looking at? You know, my first breakdown is always on my team. So after a game, I pop in our tape, and I'm watching every position on every play, finding out if they're doing the right things or the wrong things. You know, a lot of coaches just follow the ball and think that was a very successful play. My young ladies get a little upset with me because I critique everybody. You know, I don't care how good you did, there's always room for improvement. And one thing I love about film is film never lies. It never lies. You know, you can be out on the field during the game and you can tell your guard that she didn't pull and then turn up the field, and she'll swear up and down that she turned up the field and blocked somebody. And when you watch the film, you look up, and the guard never got up the field, never hit a person on there, and then all she can say is, my bad, coach, my bad. But again, that's why I love film. And when you haven't played the game for 20 years or 15 years or 10 years or 5 years, you don't understand that the coaches aren't getting on you to be negative. They're getting on you to turn that mistake into something positive, because even if you knock the girl down on her behind, on her butt, and you could have blocked somebody else, a good coach is going to point that out. They're going to say, great block, but, you know, that was a great run, but, That was a great catch, but in my translation to women's football has been a little upsetting because, again, the women think that I'm being very critical on their play, which I am. But, again, it's all about improvement. So, again, as I'm watching film, the first thing that I'm looking at is my players, what we did right, what we did wrong, and then I give them a grade and how we can improve. Once a player has their grade sheet and understand what the coach is looking for, then they're able to use that in practice to get better. And, again, them lopsided scores just mean that we're not prepared. We're not prepared, coaches. We're not prepared, players. Our coaches are not forcing our women to go out and watch the film. Our football players aren't forcing the coaches to show them film sessions. So we got to be on the same page. As you can hear, I'm always talking about we, not me, but we. Because, again, it's all about the product. You got to prepare for the games by having film sessions. And not only have them, but know what you're looking at. Okay? As a coach, again, a lot of coaches just follow the ball and think that's, you know, that's what they're supposed to do. But, no, you're supposed to break down every player on that offense if you got the ball. From the wide receiver on the far side, to seeing if they're going to cut off the DB just in case your running back breaks. Are they blocking down the field? Are they running right pass patterns? Is the timing right? Is your offensive tackle kicking out? You know, it's a bunch of things that you need to work on. I work with my quarterbacks every week on just breaking down the film because I want them to be me on the field. And that's what you got to understand. Quarterbacks are mini coaches on the field. And they got to be able to put people in the right places. And how they can do that is by studying film and understanding what this play needs and where this running back needs to line up. So, again, focus on what your team and look at the things that you need to improve on. Now, on the other team, as I'm watching film and as my coaches are watching film, we're trying to find out their philosophy. You know, if I got a team that offensively want to pound the ball, okay, well, let me see who they pound the ball to. You know, are they running between the guards and centers? Are they running between guards and tackles? Or are they running outside? Most teams have a basic 4-8 play scheme. I mean, that's their bread and butter. You know, for me, I'm off tackle. I tell you straight up right now, I love running off tackle. I love running off tackle. So that's my bread and butter is off tackle. Why? Because it sets up everything else that I want to do. Each team has an offensive philosophy that they do certain things to set up other things. So you got to figure out, okay, what does this team do well? You know, do they run behind this guard on the right-hand side on third down and two because she's strong and she's big and fast? You got to understand that so you can prepare your defense. Hey, on third and short, they like to run dive to the right side. So you got to give the pointers to your players and let them know that these are the things or tendencies that they do on certain downs and distance. You got to be able to pick out who their stars are. You got to be able to pick out who they want to run the ball in certain situations. You got to know if the quarterback can throw the ball. You know, a lot of us run these 4-4 defenses and 5-3s, and, you know, those are defenses basically to stop the run because you got 8 in the box. Well, what if you play a team that, you know, 4 spread, 4 wide, and you come out in a 4-4? Now you got 6 in the box, you know. The common courtesy is if there's six or less in the box, you run the ball. If there's 7 or more, you pass the ball. So, again, you got to figure out what they do offensively and defensively. You got to know, as an offensive coach, you know, where you can run. You know, a lot of teams got good defensive ends. You know, one strong chasing down plays, one's weak at plays coming at them. So you got to attack the weakness of the defense. A lot of coaches just call plays because they're not prepared. You got to prepare. You got to know that right corner is weak, and you can run it out. You can run it in. You can run a slant. You can run a bomb on them because they're just weak. You got to pick and choose, just like chess. You got to make the right moves at the right time, you know. You got to know on special teams, and I'm one who loves running special teams fakes. The reason why is because teams don't spend enough time in practice preparing for special teams. So that's a third of the game. If you're not working a third of the game and you're not watching that and picking that up on film, I notice the gaps on punt return, you know, and on punt team. I know where the weaknesses are because that's what I study. That's what we have to study as coaches. So, again, find the weaknesses, find the strength, and know what your team is up against. You know, again, if you got a team that likes to pound the ball and just run, then stack it up. If you got a team that like to pass the ball, then loosen up and speed rush. And play some cover three, cover two, cover one. You know? You got to prepare, and the film sessions tell you. If you notice on the films, a lot of times the offensive tackle is telling you if it's going to be a run or pass based on their stance. If they light on the fingers, it's most likely a pass. If they heavy on the fingers, it's 99% a run. Because the big tackles just give it away. That's why they come in two-point stands nowadays. So that you can't tell if it's a run or pass. But when in the old days when the offensive tackles used to be in three-point stands, and as a small corner, I had to study. I was, you know, I'm a buck 25 playing Division I football. And on run, I had to be up there quick before it got started, before I got ran over. And how I read the tackle. If the tackle was down in a hard stance, it was a run, and I'm coming. If it was pass, I can see him sitting light on his fingers, and it was pass. So those are things that you can pick out on film. As a player, you got to know the habits. You know, there's some wide receivers that come out of the huddle. You can tell it's a run right off the bat because their head is down. They kind of drag into the line. Hey, you got to have the mentality that you can recognize these things on film. That's what the NFL guys do all the time. They look at body language. You know, when it's going to be a pass play, all of a sudden the wide receivers are running hard to the line and getting in their stands and checking with the ref and doing this and doing that. You can see that on film. So those are little keys, little pointers as players and as coaches that you need to know and be prepared for at the game. Again, film session. How long should you do film? Well, I'm watching film probably 4 to 6 hours a day on my opponent, not continuously. But I will watch the whole game just to watch it as a fan. Then I'll go down and I'll break down the offense. Then the next time I'll break down the defense. Then I'll break down the special teams. And then I figure out what the other team, the opponent that's playing against the team that I play, what do they do against that team that's similar to what I do as a coach. So, again, I have to put my offense or my defense on the field as I'm watching the film to find out do I have the right player that's playing defensive tackle because this team like to run dives up what we call the A gap on defense or the one or two hole on offense. You know, so again, as a smart coach, you got to be able to put players in the right places. You know, at times I have players that I take out during certain situations because they might be too slow, they might be too short, but, you know, they're role players and they understand. Well, I can play, you know, 50% of the field, but once we get down to the red zone, then I'm coming out because coach needs a taller player because they like to do fade, or I need a stronger player because they like to run the ball in the red zone. So, again, you got to have a rotational system going in, and watching film helps you prepare for that. It gets you in the mode of being a great coach, and part of that is preparing for films. Again, you rocking it with 4 quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, it's going by so fast because we're just hitting points and we letting people know that, hey, we know how to break down films. You know, we're doing anywhere between 2 hours to 6 hours. For us as a team, hey, we're spending 2.5 hours every Tuesday on film breakdown, not only watching ourselves but watching our opponents so that the ladies can understand what we got to do, what we got to accomplish, and what their goal is, and to see the caliber of players they're going to play against. Sometimes it's not beneficial to watch film because your players walk out of there with a big head because the team probably just got beat real bad, and I won't mention any scores, but you know those 60-0s, those 77-0s, and your team walks out there and says, oh, we're going to blow them out. Hey, that's why they play the game. You got to prepare as though you are taking care of your business, and you can't go in there with the big head. So, again, this is what it's all about. This is what I'm trying to get all the coaches out there in women's football to communicate and dilate, because this is what we do as coaches in the coaching profession. I don't care if it's the NFL. We meet and talk and give each other tips and pointers. On the college level, there's conferences all over the place. As a high school coach, oh, my goodness, there are so many college coaches and camps out there. It's ridiculous. I think every college hosts a camp in their area, and all the high school coaches go to that. But there's nothing like that, but it is something like that, the Women's Football Camping Conference, and this is what it's all about, and this is the information that we're trying to get out there and share. There's nothing wrong with sharing. you got to get better in order for the product to get better. And if our product get better, then darn it, we can be on TV. But nobody want to see no 77 and nothing blowouts and think, oh, that's what women's football is all about. So, coaches, get off your behinds. Get in the film room. Get it done and share and pass on the information. Get your team in there. Get the girls in there. Get the owners in there because they don't understand how important it is, too, for you guys to have film session. Okay? So I'm going to end it right there with, you know, we just gone into halftime right now, and, you know, it's feeling good, you know. As a coach, you're going in and you're getting all pumped up. Actually, you're communicating with the other coaches about, you know, the game plan. Is the game plan working? Is it doing what it's supposed to do? Are we winning? Are we losing? Do we need to take somebody out? Do we need to add somebody in? Do we need to run a power game? Do we need to run sweeps? You know, at halftime is where you make all those adjustments. You can make them on the sideline, but you got 15 minutes to make adjustments at halftime. And so with that, I'm going to continue to say it's halftime.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
John, your car is here.
Go get him, Tiger.
When you're hitting the road for business,
good luck.
Enterprise will pick you up and get you on the road to success. Pick Enterprise. We'll pick you up.
I'm always picking Enterprise. Know why? Because they pick me up. And I love being picked up when I got to rent a car because it just feels so good. It feels so sweet to be picked up. So pick Enterprise. Why? Because they pick you up. Adidas, yeah, got to have something on my feet, you know what I'm saying? With no shoestrings in them, I did not win them. Oh, I'm just I'm a 70s, 80s baby, so don't sweat me. You know, I just love that 80s feel. I love that hard rocking guitar beat bouncing. It's just like playing football. When somebody just come up and just cream somebody, and all you can do is go, ooh. But anyway, we in the third quarter, but you in four quarters with Coach Lee here on WFB Talk Continues, Blog Talk Radio. If you want to join in, you can always join in the chat room. We got some great conversations going on. Hey, things are going, shaking and baking. You can also call in if you like. If you want to be on the show, you can call in at 347-826-7278. I would love to hear from you in the five-minute drive if you want to jump on in. But anyway, we are rocking and rolling, rolling and rocking, you know. In the third quarter, we came out, we got some adjustments. But you know what? Let's back up a little bit. We talked about film session, but we didn't even talk about practice schedule. So let's talk about the practice schedule because, you know, that's key to preparation is practice schedule. You know, first you got to find out, well, how many days a week are you going to practice? What days are you going to practice? I know for me, dealing with adults, you know, who work, it's kind of hard to do what you want to do. You know, part one of football, you know, it's mandatory that the parents bring the kids to practice because they pay that money and they make sure their kid going to be at practice. In high school, you're fortunate enough to have the kids there. So they're going to be there in sixth period, seventh period, whatever the ending period is, and come to practice. You know, on the college level, you know, you offering scholarships. You know, you got to come to practice or you don't get to go to school free or you don't get to play. And then in the pros, they paying you millions of dollars, you know. So, again, part one of football, practice on an average of 3 days a week. High school practice 4 days a week plus game on Friday. Colleges practice 4 days a week plus game on Saturday. Actually, they go 5 days a week, but you got to include that one day for travel. But once you get to your location, you tend to go to the stadium and do a walkthrough on Friday and then play on Saturday. And then in the pros, they practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They're off on Mondays if they don't have a Monday night football game. And But they're there for 6 hours. They're there for 7 hour practices because they're doing the whole weight training. They're doing film breakdown as a team, as individuals, as groups. So, again, it's a different level of practice schedule. But let's talk about women's football practice schedule. You know, some teams are lucky, and I think I'm one of the fortunate teams that I'm able to have three day a week practices. What I wind up doing is saying, hey, we're going to be out there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, 7:45 to 9:45, 2 hours. We try to get 6 hours in of practice. And 6 hours is really not enough time to get all the things that you need to get done accomplished. But you got to break it down to where you can get things done. You know, so first you got to determine what days are beneficial to your team. You know, on some days I don't have a certain amount of players on Tuesday because, hey, they work. You know, on Wednesday I might be missing two or three players, but Thursday I tend to get everybody there. So I have to cater and tailor practice based on who's all coming and how many players I will have there. Because it's hard to put together a practice schedule to run special offensive plays, and you find out when you get there that your quarterback's not going to be there, nor your running back. So you might as well just trash that because that's not going to happen. But a good coach or a great coach is going to be able to do what? Be able to manipulate that and get some things done and change some things in order to get things done. You kind of got to go with practice of who you got. If you got majority of defensive players there, then work on defense. If you got majority of special teams players, then work on special teams. If you got majority offense, then you work on offense. You know, you just use bodies and bags and don't do too much hitting. Again, 3 days a week. How do we break down our practices because we're in the season? Well, Tuesday nights are our film sessions from here on out. So we don't have a practice. We go do film and then we'll go out and stretch and do sprints, you know, for about 30 minutes, just running. Got to stay in shape. Got to get in shape. There's no need to get in shape during the off season and then get in shape and then get to the season and don't run no more. That doesn't make any sense. But I've seen some teams that do that. You got to keep your running in. If you could, you can even lift if you have some weights or if you have facilities that have weights. On Wednesday, we call that our live day. Everybody suited up, suited and booted, full gear. And we're working on special teams for the first session of the practice. For the first 30 minutes, we just go over maybe two special teams. And, again, I love emphasizing special teams because it's one-third of the game. And the importance of special teams at the beginning of the practice, why? Because it's that important for special teams. From there, you know, we'll go probably an hour and a half of offense individual groups. We go from individual groups to small groups, from small groups to the whole offense, and like I said, about an hour and a half. And then we're in practice with about 30 minutes worth of defense. And that will take us to our two-hour to two-hour-and-30-minute practice. Then on the following Thursday, the next day, we suited and booted again, but again, Wednesday is our live practice, so we do a lot of hitting on Wednesday, a lot of form tackling, and we do some scrimmaging, but we call it thug. We don't go down to the ground. We just hit, nice form wrap, hit, and play to the whistle. On Thursday, you know, we're preparing for the game, basically. You know, we're going to go over our offense, go over two more special teams, which is six in total, and concentrate on our defense. Concentrate on what we got to stop, what we got to do. It's more of a light practice. It's not all about the hitting because during the season, you know, you get more injuries during practice than you do in the doggone game. I mean, twisted ankles, busted knees, dislocated shoulders. You know, some teams go at it 3 days a week, but I really feel just like, you know, the pros. You know, the body's getting older. It takes more time to heal. So you need to hit on Tuesday, Wednesday are the prime days. You got 3 days to rest up, to get ready for the game. But it's all about your scheduling and what you do. You know, the timing of practice. You know, are you given every opportunity for each individual in their position to learn in their position? D linemen, are they getting 10 to 15 minutes of individual drills every day? Are they getting group work with the linebackers so they know how to stunt and how to twist and know what gap responsibility they have? You know, are the DBs getting individual one-on-one, you know, backpedaling and turning drills and then turn around and go one-on-ones and then go seven-on-seven? A lot of these ladies don't know what seven-on-seven is. They don't even know what's going on passes. So So your 7-on-7 is your linebackers and your DBs. Then you need to go, you know, you can go inside run, outside run. You can do pursuit drills. And, you know, I watch a lot of film, and I watch a lot of players, what I call watching TV. Watching TV means, hey, I hit my girl, and I turn around and watch what the play is developing, especially on offense. Offensive linemen have a bad habit of not finishing and blocking through the whistle. They tend to think that, hey, I blocked for that hot second. Now let me see what the running back is doing or where the quarterback is throwing the ball. No, you gotta run the drills like it's a game. They don't turn their back. They don't release their block unless you hear the whistle. Block through the whistle, not to the whistle, but through the whistle as a player. But again, you got to put your players in those situations, in game time situations. I know we do a lot of, you know, second down and six, third and eight, you know, game situations, so the players can start thinking, okay, this is a possible pass down. When it's third and 20, 9 times out of 10, that's a pass. You might get draw or screens on there, but it's a pass. It's not going to be a dive, but it's going to be a draw, screen, or a pass. So again, you got to get this mind of thinking of what can a team possibly do, which reiterates back to or refers back to our film session. You got to know what teams do in third down situations or short yard situations or down in the red zone or, you know, on the 50-yard line. That's part of preparation. That's part of getting it together. That's part of making it happen, okay? But again, time and practice, giving each individual group ample amount of time to develop their skills. You know, you got to do that. And the most important part as a coach, you got to focus on what's going to be taking place in that practice for the day. Let your players know, hey, today we're going to focus on inside run. These are the plays that we have to either do against this team or plays we have to stop against this team. You got to let the team know what your focus is as a coach so they can understand what the whole process and why we're doing this. You just don't go into practice and say, all right, line them up, blow the whistle. Hey, I need 5 people over here, I need 4 over here, and just run plays. There's a lot of coaches that just are what I call play coaches. You know, they make up plays on a piece of paper. They make up plays on PlayStation or Wii or whatever game system they got, and then come to practice and say, hey, I got this play, let's run it. And they practice it 20 times to run it in the game once. That's a lot of wasted time. Get a system. Work your practice. Make your magic. Focus. You know, sometimes practice gets boring because you're so focused because you're repeating, repeating, repeating. That's called fundamentals, folks. You got to go over the fundamentals. And I think in women's football, that's all practice needs to be. It's a lot, I would say 90% fundamentals. Because if you got your fundamentals together, all other things will come so easy because you ain't got to think about it. You know, pass rushers, oh, my goodness, when I watch women's football, I laugh because they're like magnets out there. They come across the line, and they hit the offensive lineman. Why? Just because. Your job is to get to the backfield and get the quarterback, not to just be hitting the lineman in front of you. I've seen them play pity-pat all day, all day long up there. But you got to change. You know, that's not football, sweetheart. That's not football, ladies. Football is getting away from that person and getting in the backfield, make that tackle. But those things are taken care of in your practice schedule. You got to make time for those fundamentals. That's what camps are for. You're going to hear me promote camps all day long. Why? Because it's all about fundamentals, folks. Fundamentals, coaches. If you're not teaching the fundamentals, our product is going to be weak. The product is going to be whack, and nobody's going to be in the stands, and nobody's going to care about it because it's not looking like real football. And that's what you got to teach, real football. Get off the PlayStations. Get off the Wii's. Get off the Xboxes. That ain't teaching the players how to play no doggone football. You got to go out there and teach. You got to demonstrate. Don't be sitting back telling the player what to do if you can't tell them and show them how it's done. You know, again, as coaches, we get kind of lazy and kick back because we're used to coaching players that played 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And so we can say this and it's done. But you got to realize, you know, I look at it this way. I have Pop Warner skills, but I got adult brains. I got women who are very visual and who want to know every detail of how it's done. and you got to be able to show them how it's done. And again, you rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, we're going to move on into the fourth quarter in a hot second, but I definitely want you to call in if you got any questions. I got the answers. If you got the questions, I got the answers. You can dial at 347-826-7278. I would love to hear from you in the final drive. So let's move on out. We're moving to the fourth quarter, so I want everybody out there, put your fours up in the air. Come on. Put your fours up in the air. We all know what four means. Four means that hard work, that sweat, that blood, that tears, them tears, all that hard work, the struggles, getting knocked on your butt, you knocking people on their butt at practice, getting in shape, you know, that we own the fourth quarter. That's what putting up your fours is all about. Don't think you're going to score four touchdowns necessarily or that the game is over. But when you put your four up in the air, that means you are owning the fourth quarter. This is my quarter. This is my quarter. This is our quarter. So let's move on to the fourth quarter. My Adidas, yeah, they make a mean team when you're sporting Adidas. Think about it, yo. If we all purchase Adidas, let's think about this. 6,000 women out there play tackle football, and everybody is sporting Adidas shoes at, and just say $50 for the shoes. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of buying power. That's what is needed. That's how you get sponsors, you guys. It's not begging. It's not saying that we're nonprofit. It's about making money. A sponsor want to make 10 times the amount of money they give you. So they give you $50,000, they want to make $500,000 off of you. So, again, support, support, support.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
John, your car is here.
Go get him, Tiger.
When you're hitting the road for business,
good luck.
Enterprise will pick you up and get you on the road to success. Enterprise, we'll pick you up.
Yo, Coach Lee saying pick Enterprise. Why? Because it's power in numbers. They'll pick you up. But think about this. All the teams out there travel. We all trying to save money here and there. Some of us are renting 15-passenger vans instead of getting the luxury buses because, hey, it's hard out there. It's hard for teams to survive at this point in time, so I understand. But look at it this way. If we got 100 teams under one roof under Enterprise and able to get vans for $49, unlimited miles, why? Because we all using them, then we all saving each other money, and we all getting to the game. So, again, we have other topics out here, but, again, you got to support those who support you. And, again, those who support you want to make a tenfold off of you. So, realize that and understand that. So, you know, hey, we back in the fourth quarter, Four Quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio, Radio, Radio. We got chat room action going on. We got all kind of things working on. And so in the fourth quarter, I love going to the Ning board. You know, that's Women's Tackle Football Group.Ning.com. Why? Because it's where we all can come under one roof, one stable, and talk about the one thing that we love, and that's women's football. Women's football is where it's at, you know. And some of the hot topics that have gone on over the last couple of days is that Coach Evans from the Tiger Cats has just made an announcement that the Binghamton Tiger Cats will be issuing paychecks to the team and staff following their next home game. I guess he had promised that this year that he was going to charge no fees, which is great. He had a large group of sponsors and a large group of fans that came to the game, and he's willing to pass out those shares to his players. Hey, you know, they're not going to get rich or anything, but you know what? To be able to play for free and get $1, $2, $20, $100, $500 is a lot better than pitching out $1,500 and getting nothing. So kudos to Coach Evans and them Tiger Cats. You know, my whole thing is, hey, if you got a plan, share it. Ain't nothing wrong with sharing. So actually, my response to that was, sounds great, Coach. Pass that on. We want to hear about it. You got Thomas O'Boyle. Sounds great. Like what you have, and I want to do it next year. So, again, it's pumping up other owners and other coaches and actually the players. And basically Coach Evans saying that he's going to get a PowerPoint and pass this on. We got Kip Watson. This is great. Wow. Likewise. Hoping to see the day when it will be league-wide. Again, it's the first steps, you know, and all we can do is improve on it, you know. Again, you got Brandon Wright who wants to know, care to tell us how much? It's cool even if they get a buck. Again, you got a fan there who ain't worried about how much money they're getting. He feels that if they got a buck, that's great because a lot of players out there play 6 or 7 years, ain't seen nothing but debt off of this situation. And from my understanding, Coach Evans have a $16 per share, basically, is what they're dividing, getting right now, just based on the model. And he's put together a full model, but that was just a sample of what's going on with the Tiger Cats. So, again, definitely get out there and understand that there's people out there that got great minds and that are brilliant, that are trying different things and trying to elevate women's football. And we would love to have you a part of it. And if you haven't, you need to join the Women's Tackle Football Group .neen.com. And actually, we're doing a new contest from that board, a team prize, which would be a line, how would I call it? One of those line things with the center, guard, tackle, the roll-ups, so that you can teach your linemen, offensive linemen, defense linemen, where they should be standing as far as your offense and your defense splits and all that other stuff. But we want to do a 30-day contest to see how many fans can you guys bring to the Ning board and sign up to your fan club or your fan group. Each team has a group on the Ning board. All you got to do is tell your fans to come to Women's Tackle Football Group.Ning.com and sign up, of course, it's free, and then go to your group as a fan, and the team with the most fans in that group in 30 days by, let's go ahead and give it, by May 31st, we'll go ahead and get this team prize. It's valued at about $169. It's a roll-up line designator, is what I want to call it. So, again, get your fans to go to the game and then come to the Ning board and sign up and be fans. Because, again, once you get all those fans in your group, you have a way to communicate to your own fans. And I don't know if these teams out there have a mechanism where you can communicate with your fans. I don't know if you guys are collecting email addresses. I don't know if they're signing in on your website. But this Ning board is magical. It's great. You can control your fans in one place. Once they come to your group and sign up as your group, you can disseminate information, game information, fundraising information, all that, all in one place, in the privacy of your own group. They don't have to get other information unless they sign up on other team sites. But, you know, the whole thing is fans of women's football, and that's what we want, fans of women's football. All right, let's see what else, one of the other topics on the Ning board. BJ, do we have anybody for the five-minute drive? Because we're at about 8-minute mark, and I definitely want to give anybody an opportunity to call in. If we do, go ahead and just charm them in if you like. If not, we'll move on and go on to the next topic here on the Ning board. Let's see here. Where is that at? We had game recaps. Oh, great topic right here. Started by my girl Christina Hutchison of the Houston, I want to say she's with the Houston Energy, even though she has a Houston Cyclone jersey on her picture. But he's talking about photo requirements here on the Ning board. From the moment we started this Ning board, we wanted it to be different than all the other boards that are out there. We wanted accountability. It was too many boards out there that you're able to sign up and you can be KB2 or Doggy Dog World and nobody know who you are, and you can get up there and start all kind of mess and rumors and all this other stuff. So we wanted to create a board that was more fan-friendly, team-friendly, and more accountable. That's the whole purpose of putting up your picture or representing your team, because you're going to be accountable for what you say on the board. And this board hasn't gotten sloppy like other boards. I think there's been very respectful conversations here on the Women's Tackle Football Group, .neem.com. And I think it's an awesome place for kids. It's an awesome place for parents to come and find out more about women's football. And, again, she proposed a question about why must we put up a picture. And basically I just gave you the answer, but I give you some of the responses. Christina, it's always been, this is from me, Coach Lee, it's always been a requirement to be a member on this network, and it's the only requirement to be on this network. That's what make it real for the players and for the fans. And then she responded back, so do people have to put a photo of themselves up or just any old photo like Sarge, signature fat cat, that he or she uses for everything? Well, you know, everybody knows Sarge as the fat cat, you know, so, yeah, that's cool. Again, from me, we would like a picture or a logo of the team that you rep or play for. A picture would be nice, makes it more personal and friend-friendly. And then I laughed about Sarge. That's just Sarge being Sarge. And then we have BJ. Christina, that's why we at WFB reference these boards over the air, because there's an accountability for what is spoken. So, again, that's what we want. And then, again, Christina responds back, true. If you can't say anything and be personal enough to have your face next to the words, then you probably shouldn't be saying anything. And that's me. You know, I'm a man of my word. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. You know, and that's all we have, is to be accountable for what we say and accountable for what we do. And that's what make us, you know, women's football players, women football coaches, women football owners, and women football fans. We are here for one cause, and that is to see women's football take it to the next level. And hopefully someday, somehow, when my daughter turns 20, which I hope she slowly do, because that means I'll be getting older. And, you know, maybe she could be getting paid. Maybe Coach Evans' program would be a situation where they're getting paid. As I see, the program is really like the Green Bay Packers, you know, where the fans own the team. Well, in majority cases, a lot of these teams, the players, are really the owners of the team. Why? Because they're putting up not only their body on the line, but they're putting up $1,000 to $1,500. You know, some people might not like me to say it, but, you know, if an owner ain't putting up at least 50% of the cost, trust me, they're not an owner. That means you, the player, is the owner, and that's something I definitely agree with. That if you're putting up 50%, over 50%, then you're part owner. You should be making part of the decisions. If not, hey, kudos to you and you and you and you. But, you know, we're getting close to our five-minute drive. Things are shaking and baking. You know, like I said, this show is going to grow. My job is to inform you, to let you know what's going on in women's football, to let you know, hey, I might not know everything as a player because I've only played for 6 months, but I know that there's resources out there that I can reach out and get that information. You know, that's what it's all about, is getting that information out, y'all. It's about going out and retrieving that information. It's about going out and seeking that information. Once you seek it, you got to use it. You know, just like my boy P.E. says, I got so much trouble on my mind, refuse to lose. And if you refuse to lose, you're going to go out there and get that info. So, again, make sure you get out to the Women's Tackle Football Group Women's Tackle Football Group .neem.com board. Talk about it. Put your word out there. Listen to the show, because you're four quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, tell a friend, tell a coach, tell a player. Never question what I am, because it's coming from the heart. You are finished rocking four quarters with Coach Lee. I am out of here. See you next week. And bring a friend. And let's talk. We got 5 minute drive on here. I'm not shy. You can ask me any question and it's on like that. So I am out of here. Peace.